Hello and welcome to another episode of Two Guys in a Chainsaw. I'm Todd.
And I'm Craig.
We are, well, technically we're at the end of our month of Chucky, but we just decided we had to finish out the series, so we pushed it into one more month. So today we are finishing it out with all of the Chucky movies. This is 2017's Cult of Chucky, which came fairly fast on the heels of, what, 4 years later than the one before it?
I don't remember. I don't remember when the other one came out. This one came out in 2017.
I'm just going to come right out and say it. I really, really liked this movie. You know, it's interesting because I think I was pretty shocked by the new tone that was set by the last movie, as we had in our last podcast episode. And this movie, I don't know if I was just already settled into that tone. It just felt a little lighter than the previous movie. It's definitely gory. In fact, I think it might be the goriest of the whole series.
Well, Don Mancini had said he wanted it to be. I don't know. They're all pretty gory.
Yeah, they've all, but you know, the earlier ones, the gore is kind of, it's a little off screen. It's a little more off screen sometimes, or just a little more abstract. But this is pretty gory. It's got a very cold, modern feel to it.
Yeah.
It's interesting how the previous film, it has a very cold feel to it as well, but it's also very gothic in tone.
And the last movie is very dark, and this movie is very bright.
Yeah.
And almost everything is stark white.
Quite a contrast, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, because most of it takes, in fact, almost all of it takes place inside a mental hospital. And this is sort of a modern update of the old school mental hospital. It's not quite as silly as having people wandering around muttering to themselves and doing crazy things. It is like a very long hallways, open rooms, no decoration. I guess, theoretically, nothing for patients to grab, right, and mess around with. Steel tables.
Right, but like, literally everything is white. The furniture, the walls, the floor, the ceiling, the desks, the nurse's clothes, like everything is, and it's not just white. It is like stark, dreamlike, heavenly white. Like,
yeah.
This isn't a real place.
Not a real place.
I mean, it looks cool. It's a really cool set piece, and it's kind of jarring. Like the hallways, like you said, are long, and they're kind of at weird angles to one another, and I don't know. Yeah, it's very, very different in look than the last one. I mean, it's still very cleanly shot. I still think this one deserved a theatrical release. It's a well-made movie.
It really is.
But I'm really glad to hear that you liked it, because I was uncertain whether you would or not. And it fares well for you that you did, because I feel like more than anything, this movie is teeing up the series.
Really? It's teeing up the tone, the feel, everything?
Yes. I don't know if that was entirely intentional. I know that Don Mancini had wanted to take it to television and also has said that he does also plan to continue the film franchise also, but I think he at least, especially, you know, all of these movies, or many of them, kind of end open-ended. The story could go on. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but it could. And this one does too, but I feel like with as open-ended and with, you know, a lot of new stuff.
Possibility.
Yeah, there are a lot of new possibilities at the end of this movie, and things just get started, things that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And it really gives them a lot of room to play in the series, and they do. So I'm glad that you liked this, because I think that means that you'll probably really enjoy the series.
Oh, that's really good to hear. Because I think that the last movie, as I had said in that episode, felt so cold and dark and sinister. And of course, Chucky is a sinister, cold, dark character, but he's also got this sense of humor. And I felt like we had less Chucky in that movie. I mean, he was there. Yeah. The doll was there.
He didn't talk for the first half, right?
Yeah, his personality kind of wasn't there. And when his personality was there, it was just the murderous Chucky. There was very little. He had some quips, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
But none of it sounded like he was having fun. You know, this movie has a lot more fun in it. It kind of brings back, I think, some of the fun of the previous duology, trilogy, or whatever, when we kind of split the movies up.
Right, right.
A Bride and Seed. And I felt like it struck a really good balance between being a modern horror movie that's actually scary and actually threatening and bloody and serious, and having this character in there who that we know and love, who's a little more jokey, a little more fun. And we get a lot of him in this movie because there are literally a lot of him in this.
But you don't know that for a long time. And that's another thing. Like, it kept me guessing for a while. I'm like, what is happening? Why are there so many of them? And my question was, which one is it? It never occurred to me that it might be more than one. And I don't know. They started to kind of suggest it a little bit, but then they'd pull back on it. So I at least had some suspicion, but it really kept me guessing for a while.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have consistently liked about this franchise, and I've said it several times over the course of the last month, is that it keeps trying new things. It doesn't get stale. The only time it got a little bit stale was with 3, and that wasn't Don Mancini's fault. He had done the first two back-to-back. They wanted the third one immediately, and he said he was out of ideas, and I get it. Still not a terrible movie. I still enjoy it. But it's maybe the one that does the least in terms of originality. All of the other ones, it feels like every time they bring something new to the table and they keep you guessing. And I don't know. I like it. I liked it too. If I remember correctly, my initial response to this, and I think I said this to people, I may have said it to you, may have said it on the podcast, I don't know. But I think my initial response was, I liked that, but I know it's going to be polarizing.
Oh, the fact that they add new things and kind of change things up a little bit?
Yeah. You've got multiple Chuckies. You've got giant Chucky. You've got
It has the possibility of going off the rails, and I think it doesn't. And I think, like we had said earlier, that is because the writer-director Don Mancini has really embraced this and kind of made it his life's work, it seems like, because he is once again in the director's chair and, of course, writing this movie. So he's had full control over this. So, you know, to have one mind working with this all the way through since the 80s, you've got a consistency of ideas, and he has a real clear idea in his head. Not necessarily where he always wants to go. I mean, you've always got to sit down and come up with ideas, right? But at least he can make the characters consistent. He knows all of the lore from the previous movies. He's a little more reticent to retcon things too much. But also, like you said, not afraid to try some new things. There are a couple places that we've even talked about in the previous movies where the rules that seem to have been established in the previous movies are broken, but just in very small ways.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm still not quite sure now if Chucky is human inside, like if he has flesh and blood when he's in the doll.
He is. I mean, he is in this movie.
He is in this movie. He wasn't in the last one.
Yeah, in the last movie, they knocked his head off and he wasn't organic in there. So,
yeah,
I don't know. All of that has been relatively inconsistent, but come on, who cares? That's
not that important. Yeah, and the silliest thing probably is how the voodoo chant stuff works. At first, it was a voodoo chant, then he needed an amulet for a while, and there's absolutely no need for an amulet.
And you can do variations on the spell, and
right.
I really like that. I like the consistency of the chant, but the fact that they changed it, and not only did they change it, but I thought that the way they changed it was hilarious.
Yes.
Because it's usually Ade Due Dembala. And now that he wants to, like, make a bunch of Chuckies, he says, Ade Boku Dembala.
It's a new chant that he found on voodoofordummies.com.
I just think Boku is so funny, like, a lot.
Right.
We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. I don't know. The only reason that I'm interested in talking about the very beginning was because, I don't know, like, I was uncertain of what was happening. These usually open up in a very violent way, or at least a setup for something violent. And this shows us a beautiful, I don't know, skyscraper, very tall building at night. It's constantly storming in this entire franchise. Like, it's right. It's always storming. So it's raining, but it's actually a romantic date with Andy and this red-haired girl. And she, like, he's taken her to a really nice place.
Yeah, he must be pretty well off.
Well, Don Mancini says he got a bunch of insurance money from all of the murder stuff in the first couple movies. I don't really get that.
It's hard to believe anybody would insure him after two of those events.
But whatever. Yeah, I guess he's independently wealthy because he doesn't appear to work either.
No.
I don't know. I guess he could go to work and we just don't see it. But whatever. Anyway, he's on this date, this pretty girl. He's taking her out to this nice place, but she immediately kind of starts interrogating him.
I'm sorry. I've just never known someone who's into guns before.
I'm not into guns, Rachel. I have a couple.
more than the one.
That doesn't mean that I'm a fanatic. Okay, it doesn't mean that I'm not for restrictions and waiting periods and background checks.
So what does it mean, Andy?
I just want to be able to protect myself.
From what, exactly?
You Googled me.
Yeah, I did.
And he goes on this whole thing. He's like, yeah, when I was six, my babysitter was murdered and my teacher and my foster parents and like 39 other people that he knows of, something like that. So he really feels like he needs to have guns. And
that's pretty understandable.
Totally understandable. That's what I was getting at. Like, this establishes, I feel so bad for him. Like,
yeah,
Chucky at one point, when was it that he told him, I killed your childhood?
That was the last movie. Well, he didn't tell him that. He told that to Nika.
Oh, that he told Nika that. Because yeah. She said, you never killed him. It's the slowest murder ever. And he said, I killed his childhood. And you see that he did. He ruined this guy's life.
Yeah, his adulthood as well.
Yeah, and he's still dealing with the repercussions and arguably is a little unhinged, as I think you would be.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's unhinged is evidenced by the fact that he still has OG Chucky's living mutilated head in his safe at home, and he takes it out and talks to it.
He takes it out, talks to it, and tortures it every once in a while. It's kind of crazy. It's a brilliant bit of animatronics too, but the head is like half there, so it's all kind of bloody, but it's talking, and you can see where it's been charred and where it's been cut and where it's been
shot.
Like, he's definitely been playing with this head, really. Kind of his own personal therapy, I guess. This reminded me a bit of Laurie Strode in the new Halloween movies, right? Alone in a cabin with all this protection in the woods.
Sure, yeah. He's got a whole arsenal.
Sort of waiting for the nemesis to come, which is interesting because he thinks he has Chucky's head. So presumably he would be safe.
Right. But like, he also, I don't know, he's killed him before and he always comes back. Maybe he thinks...
That is a common thread.
Maybe he thinks, if I keep him alive and I keep him secure, he can't come back to get me. But
yeah,
if I kill him, as I've done multiple times, he'll just pop up in the mail again someday. But I also, like, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. I almost felt like Chucky says something like,
what about Rachel? Didn't she want to play? Now we'll never know if she's a natural redhead. Face it, Andy. I'm all you got.
Sometimes it's nice just hanging out on a Friday night. With your best friend.
Like, again, I'm just thinking, this doll... this man in a doll's body has ruined this guy's life, and he has nobody else. He's alone.
It's sort of like, in a way, kind of what would you call that? Stockholm syndrome, a little bit, where you start to sympathize with your tormentor.
Something like that.
Not that he does, but I mean, there's a hint of that in there. It's complex. It's kind of complex psychologically. And kudos to Don Mancini for going there, you know, for giving us a realistic and effective portrayal of what Chucky's victims are going to be like over the years.
Yeah, they're messed up.
Not a lot of sequels bother with that kind of stuff, you know? They really don't. And Halloween picked it up later. I have to wonder if it was inspired by this movie, honestly.
Oh, I don't know. But he asks Andy for a hit off of his blunt, and Andy gives him one, but then Chucky acts like he's going to bite him and scares him and laughs at him. So Andy says, you want to play? Let's play. And he pulls out a blowtorch and starts torturing him, which... Good for him. I mean, like you said, therapy, I guess.
But then that question still remains, because at the end of the last movie, we saw that Chucky was in the process, anyway, of putting himself in the body of, was her name Annie?
Alice,
a young girl at the end of that movie who was the nephew of Nika, right?
Niece, but yeah, close enough.
Niece, right. Having trouble with words this morning.
I mean, there is, you know, there's a lot of gender fluidity stuff going on in these movies. So, but that was something that troubled you, because at the end of the last movie, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but that scene with Andy at the end, the post-credits scene, that wasn't in the theatrical cut. That was only in the, and there was no theatrical cut. That wasn't in the original release.
Oh, really?
They added it to the unrated version.
Oh.
And you were bothered by that. You're like, I don't get it. He was going into the girl. What happened? Why is he back in the doll? Why is he here? Were you satisfied?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, good. It all makes sense now. Because I think, as we already said, there are multiple Chuckies now, which actually works. I don't mind talking about this now. I mean, we're going to go through the plot of the movie, but let's talk about this whole concept. It works because, in a way, it was already established in Seed. The one doll, Chucky's son, went into two bodies.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like the split personality or whatever.
Right.
The male side went into the little boy and the female side went into the little girl. And so it actually had been done before. Just not a big deal was made out of it. So, although, like we said, Chucky in this movie says that he found a new chant that allowed that to happen. So,
right.
But was I terribly confused? Because I kind of knew. I mean, I have to say, I think you let it slip earlier on that there were going to be multiple Chuckies. I think maybe it was when we talked about the whole series way back.
It probably was
for our podcasters. So I was more interested in figuring out how and what. And like you said, so who's the real one? And this brings up like a big one of those big sci-fi questions, right? I read a lot of sci-fi, I watch a lot of sci-fi, and there are always these things where, you know, you download a personality into a computer and then can upload it back into your body, or you could live forever, you know, just by making a backup copy of yourself. But then that raises this immediate question, like, who's the real you, right? And is that really you? And so your body dies, but then are you going to wake up in the new body when your soul's been kind of downloaded into it? Like, what is that, right? Like, even the Star Trek has the thing where with the transporter, the teleporter, which actually just takes you completely apart bit by bit and then reassembles you using the molecules on that planet. There's a question, do you die every time you go through that transport process?
Uh-huh.
It's so, I mean, maybe the answer is they're all Chucky. They're all equally the same guy.
Okay, all right. So I can kind of, they are. He says in this movie that he learned, he got on voodoofordummies.com and he found a spell where you can split your soul into pieces and put a piece of that in whatever you want. He says anything with two legs and an arm for stabbing. Anything with two legs and an arm for stabbing,
that is
he
so
can
funny.
Put himself in. And moving forward, we're to believe that each of those is a part of the OG. But I think we're also, now I'm extending beyond the end of this movie too. I think that we are also to believe that the OG Chucky is still around and is somehow different from the other ones. It gets really complicated because moving forward, when there are multiple ones, sometimes, fairly regularly, they have unique personalities.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if you would say that maybe those are just different parts of Chucky's soul. Like maybe he's got a nice part. Maybe he's got, who knows?
A childlike part, a goofy part, a serious part.
Maybe. I don't know. And I don't know. I think it's a little muddy. And that's all right. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But
thinking too deeply into this too.
The other thing I was thinking about is like, is one's soul infinite? Like, are you going to run out? Like, and what happens? What happens if you run out?
What do you get?
Is it like a Voldemort kind of scenario?
If you make a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, eventually does that, you know, those last few ones, are they kind of limited in a way?
Right,
you know?
Right. I don't know.
Who knows?
All interesting questions that we are not going to get the answers to.
Nor do we need to worry too much about.
Right.
But yeah.
But the movie is largely about Nika, and it is basically One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And Chucky.
In a way, yeah, you're kind of right. Which is ironic considering the fact that Brad Dourif's breakout role was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Right. And he's great. I've said it before. I'll say it again. He's amazing. He's so good in that movie. But I don't know. Like, Nika has been convinced by her therapist that the whole Chucky thing was all in her head, and she killed her whole family because she was clinically jealous of her sister and overly protective of Alice. So she killed everybody else so that she could have Alice all to herself, and she can never even though, you know, she knows it's because she was sick or whatever, she can never forgive herself because Alice could never forgive her for that. And Alice is somewhere else and she doesn't know where she is and she'll never see her again. Mm-hmm. But the doctor says, since you realized that you were sick and you understand that Chucky was all in your head, we're going to move you to this medium security facility.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. Keeping in mind, she's a paraplegic. Like, I don't think that she would be a huge flight risk anyway.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
So they do. They immediately move her to this place. And then for the next while, we just kind of see her meeting people. And like, we meet this cast of characters who are interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's kind of one of those things where I appreciate them trying to give all of these characters unique qualities and making them more than just fodder for the kills.
Yeah.
But I know that's what they are. So let's just get to it.
I also appreciate them not taking it too far. You know, you could really go far into camp with these characters in a mental institution, and most horror movies do this. In fact, a lot of mainstream movies until fairly recently would do this, you know. Oh, this is the one with the crazy twitch. And not only do they have this twitch, but you're going to see it every time you see them. And this person's constantly seeing visions. And every time they're on the screen, they're going to see visions. And it might even be a source of laughter and comedy. This movie, I felt like these characters were fairly real people. I was really on board with the reality of the portrayal of these folks. There's the Malcolm or Michael?
I don't know. You don't know at first. She meets him and he's very nice. The first person she meets is the nurse, Carlos, I think is his name.
Right.
And he's gay and has an ailing husband. And he's kind of nice to her. And she thanks him for that. And he says, don't get me wrong, we're not going to be friends.
Yeah.
I'm just doing my job. Which I get.
Weird.
That's a very healthy relationship. Like, we can treat each other with kindness, but we're not friends. Like,
at least he's being honest and establishing that up front, I suppose. Yeah. But it's not very warm.
No, but I think it's perfectly professional. These are crazy people.
Yeah, true.
She is a mass murderer or multiple murderer. I don't know.
True.
They
Everyone
make a big difference out of it. I know.
Well, everyone wants to keep their distance from her, you know, and that's understandable as well.
But then she meets this one lady. This lady was probably my favorite, Angela, who thinks she's a ghost. And she introduces herself as a ghost. She's like,
can you see me?
Yeah.
Thank God. None of the others can see me. Please don't be afraid.
I'm not afraid of you.
Good. I won't hurt you. I just need someone to talk to. I spent my whole life here. Then I died. Right here in this room. A long, long time ago.
That's awful.
Angela, we can all see you.
And then she just floats away.
I thought that scene was hilarious because
it
I was
is.
Like, are there ghosts in this movie? But then this guy introduces himself, and I don't remember what he introduces himself as, Michael, I think, and he seems super nice, and they hit it off to the point where within 10 seconds, they're banging in the stairway.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it, but the other thing was like, wow, her experience has changed her.
Yeah.
Because didn't you very much get that she was very sheltered and likely virginal in the last movie?
I did. And she was also, I mean, she was a tough cookie. She's always been a tough cookie, but she was a little sweeter and a little, I don't know. Now she's seen shit, you know, and she's kind of mean and relatively speaking, she's kind of hard in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And you would be, you know, that's what would happen. But you're right. Her experience has changed her a lot because she's banging that guy. And she's kind of got a bit of a scowl on her face. She's treating everyone she meets with a little bit of skepticism. She's not out there looking for friends, but this Malcolm guy is probably the closest thing to a friend she's going to have in here.
Right.
Even though they have sex in the stairwell, she still keeps her distance. She's still very much kind of setting herself apart and staying alone. This has to be hard. You know, when you're sentenced to this life, you don't have much control.
No.
Right. And I'm sure she doesn't feel as quote unquote crazy as the people around her.
Probably none of them do.
And yeah,
or like
exactly.
A lot of them don't.
A lot of them probably don't. Right. They're all probably why am I here? And that's gotta be hard.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
You know, my mom worked at a psychiatric facility, but, you know, people would come through it. They weren't sentenced to live there for the rest of their lives or for an indeterminate amount of time. It was very much a rehabilitation place, and the expectation was that after a while, they're going to be ready to go out and face the world. And this does not seem like that kind of place. These people seem like they're all going to be there probably forever. Although there is a doctor here who has got some very interesting and perhaps progressive, perhaps regressive ways and theories of taking care of these people. And what's the doctor's name?
I don't know. I just kept calling him Dr. Foley. Dr. Foley.
He's got all these weird therapies. Like the first scene that we see of her after we cut away from Andy is they're doing like electroshock therapy on her, which I thought was interesting because I thought that had pretty much gone away, except in very extreme circumstances.
I was going to say it's kind of a last resort anymore, but they do still do it. I actually just recently read about this and that the shock therapy that they use bears no resemblance to what it looks like in movies. People are not thrashing around as insane voltages running through them. It's very controlled. It's you know,
small doses probably delivered.
Yeah, it's as safe as it can be. It's not widely used, but it is still used. Carrie Fisher swore by it.
Well,
she was, I think she was bipolar and she would have incredible peaks and valleys. And sometimes shock treatment therapy was the only thing that could pull her out of some of those valleys.
Well, to be honest, there's probably something behind it because right now we are getting major startups that are coming up, tech startups that are claiming that they can manipulate your brain in positive ways by delivering very pointed electrical currents to the right times and the right places to help boost your memory. This was literally in the news this week, but I've been following this for the last 6 or 7 years. And so, yeah, I mean, your brain is, your body has electricity flowing through it in small amounts, and your brain is arguably kind of a big electrical machine. So it's definitely not outside the realm of, it's not quackery.
Right.
The way it was done in the past has been a bit of quackery, but now there's some solid science behind some of it. But then this guy goes into other territories as well, which I was questioning, like, is he really clever? Is he really smart? Is he using these modern techniques? Or is he a little psychotic himself? Is he playing?
He seems sadistic to me.
He does seem sadistic. And we find out later that he's probably even more so. It's interesting that in this stark white hospital, his office is the exact opposite. It is dark and black. And it's like the only place of warmth, really, in the whole hospital. But that said, it doesn't really feel like a warm place to be. But yeah, that's the black to the white. And I thought that was a really interesting choice of design.
Sure. Yeah, it's far less, it's not sterile like everything else. It looks like human beings actually would use that space.
That's the place where they all come together to do work.
Well, they do group. And the people that we've already mentioned, plus there's an angry, paranoid Asian lady. What is her name? Claire. And she's very suspicious of Nika. I probably would be too. For all they know, she just killed a bunch of people.
Oh, she's pissed. She's like, why is this murderer here with us? I'm scared for my life. And I kind of would be too. I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. And then Angela, who's the ghost, says something like, he's coming. Chucky called me on the phone. He said to tell you he's coming for you, which you think she's just a nutter. But as it turns out, Chucky did call her on the phone and talk to her. Oh, boy. But then Dr. Foley, again, I know that like aversion therapy is a thing and like facing your fears is a therapeutic type thing. But I just can't imagine that in all these movies, people just keep throwing Chucky dolls at the victims.
I know, right? They're either just happen to be there or they're just like, hey, I thought this would help you. Or, oh, I'm going to give this as a present to your niece. Just as much as Chucky is mailed to people, people seem to deliberately bring Chucky back into these poor people's lives.
All the time. This guy went out of his way to find one of the original ones that was named Chucky. He got it from a Hot Topic.
That was hilarious, actually.
One of the few things that bothered me about this movie was the Chucky voice is different. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like, the doll voice is different.
It feels different. Is that just because Brad Dourif is so old now?
No, not well. I mean, his voice did sound a little bit different, too. But I'm talking about the, I can't do it. It's too high. But the
hi, I'm Chuck. You want to play? Oh, that.
Yeah. That's not been. Brad Dourif doesn't voice that.
Right.
Brad Dourif only voices Charles Lee Ray, the possessed doll. The voice of the actual toy is not him. And it's different in this one. And it bugged me because it's been the same in all of them. And I'm like, come on. You have to have. Just reuse the audio. He only says like three things.
That's true. You can just literally cut and paste it from the previous movies.
But again, that's a minor complaint. But yeah, like he pulls it out and is like, and she's like, no, it's just a doll. It was me. I did it. And then there's another character. What's her name? Madeline, who is apparently in there. We learn over the course of the next half hour or so. She's in there because she suffered from postpartum depression and killed her own baby. And now she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But she thinks that Chucky is her baby. And like she takes it and starts treating it like her baby. And that's fine. Like Nika doesn't really seem particularly concerned at this point.
Yeah.
Because I do think that he really has her convinced that it was all in her head, that she's crazy.
Yeah, I was unsure about that until this moment. And then, you know, to see the result of this scene that proved it, I was like, oh, okay, I guess she does really think that she is crazy. So that you know, made sense. And that's an interesting choice, too. A lot of times in movies and stories like this, we, you know, the whole story is that character's absolutely convinced that they're not crazy and they're the only ones and nobody will believe them. She's not going there. There's nothing in this movie about her trying to convince people that she's not crazy and that Chucky was real. And that's refreshing, actually, to be honest, because then it allows space for the movie to go in some other interesting directions, I think.
Well, then, okay, so that Chucky, there's already one Chucky there. And then immediately, I feel like Nika is called out of this meeting and somebody says, you have a visitor.
Yeah.
And she walks down to somebody's office. Is it the doctor that's in there? I don't remember who's in there. But who should be waiting for her? The doctor. Nika, I'd like you to meet Miss Valentine. And it's fucking Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah.
And Nika, looking great, by the way. She looks different. She's kind of got long blonde hair, but her face looks beautiful. She looks fantastic. And she's just kind of sitting there filing her nails. And Nika rolls in and says, God, you look familiar. Has anybody ever told you you look just like Jennifer Tilly? And she says, yeah, I get that a lot. Oh, my God. The first time I saw that, I had to pause it because I couldn't stop laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing because things are getting so convoluted because that is Jennifer Tilly, but it's really Tiffany inside.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But anyway, the doctor's like, she was Alice's guardian, and they kind of trade jabs about something. Like Nika tells Tiffany she doesn't look very motherly because I think Tiffany said, you're not like what I expected. I expected you to be more formidable or like somebody who could actually do something or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, you don't seem very motherly. And then she's like, well, how is Alice? She goes, oh, sweetie, she's dead. And Nika's like, what? What happened? And she said, well, I'm no doctor, but I think it was a broken heart.
She's like, just there to dig into her.
Oh, yeah. She is just here to grind glass into this woman's heart. But then she says, but wait, I think Alice would have wanted you to have something. And she pulls out another Chucky. And the doctor's like, wait, is that the actual? And she's like, no. Alice's doctor gave her this. They thought it would help with therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's two. And then Tiffany just leaves. I don't know what happens next.
Yeah. Well, I think this is when Chucky starts to animate and walk around.
Well, one of my favorite scenes is two people are holding Chucky dolls walking towards one another in a hallway. The two dolls pass by one another. And at this point, we still don't really know. I mean, we know that there are multiple dolls in the building, but we don't know that any of them are animated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still thinking, oh, which one is it? Which one is it? And I don't know. They make the Fiona, Nika makes the doctor test to make sure that, but you're right. This is when they, and Chucky, one of them reveals itself to move. We see its eyes move.
Yeah. You know, obviously not to the characters, but as everyone's left the room, there's this long hold on Chucky, which is just brilliant. It's this long hold on him, and we're sitting there waiting for him to move. Like, move, move, move.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to move? And then he moves. And like, thank you. That was so satisfying. But yeah, at some point during group, I think the two dolls are there together. And she makes the doctor prove that one of them's not real. And so he goes over and burns.
But at this point, somebody's already died. That's why
she does it. Yeah.
Because, that's why she does it.
Because Chucky animates.
Because the ghost lady. Yeah. And he comes and he's going to kill Nika. But he finds that she has already slit her own wrists and is bleeding out.
Mm-hmm.
But she wakes up in the morning and by her bed is a pool of blood that Chucky has written, what, not yet?
Not just yet or something like that.
And he has crudely sewn her up.
I guess this is possible.
Okay, whatever. Which she hides from the nurse. But then they also find Angela dead. Same thing. Chucky had slit her wrist with the broken spoke from the wheelchair. And there's a pool of blood at her bedside, and it says, Chucky did it.
Now, Chucky, on his way to Nika's room, Angela pops out and looks at him and does the whole, can you see me?
Can you see me? Yeah.
They have a really interesting exchange here.
Where's Nika?
Last door on the right. You can see me.
Yeah, I can see you.
Don't be afraid.
What?
I'm not going to hurt you.
You come with me?
No, I'm not. Tell you the truth, I'm happy to have the company, even if you aren't real.
Okay, let me explain something to you. I am a vintage, mass-marketed children's toy from the 80s, standing right in front of you, holding a very sharp scalpel.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
I'm a schizophrenic. I see things.
Aren't you the crazy bitch I talked to last night on the phone?
Sometimes I hear things too.
Okay, lady. You know what? You're next. I'm gonna be right back.
Okay, you're next. Just because she annoys him.
That's where the comedy of this comes in. Like, they have this really bizarre conversation that only a crazy woman who thinks she's dead and doesn't mind that she's talking to a doll. And this killer doll was like, who the fuck are you and what the fuck are you talking about? Kind of attitude. And then at the end, all right, well, I'm coming back for you. You're next.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. This is where I like like I said, this is where I found the movie more charming than the previous one, because I felt like there was more of the old Chucky that I knew and loved in it.
Yeah, I agree. We check back in with Andy really quick just to find out that he has read that Nika has been moved, but that somebody else in the hospital has died. And we see him watching. He has a video where he is in Doc Foley's office with the Chucky head.
Yeah.
Proving that it's alive. But the doctor just won't believe this. And I still, I just am not sure what to think of that doctor.
Yeah.
Because he says to Andy, he says, Andy, are you sure that you're just not crazy? I mean, come on. The thing was in the room.
He could prove it if he wants to. He just doesn't want to. He's like, oh, that's a clever bit of animatronics, whatever. And, oh, come on. Come on.
I really started to wonder. I remember the first time that I watched this. I wondered if the doctor was in on it with Chucky.
Right.
And I don't think he is. No, he's not. In fact, Chucky hates him.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it turns out he's a big perv.
Oh, God, he's an awful perv.
Who's been molesting Nika. Yeah, it's terrible. But then there's the whole test. She makes, I don't really understand this either, because she makes the doctor hold fire to Chucky's fingers, one of them, until they melt and elongate into this long claw, which makes him stand out from the other ones, which they intentionally did. All of the Chuckies here, they tried to give them some defining characteristics so that you could tell between them. I don't know why. They all have the same personality. Right. Doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
But I also don't understand that scene, because has Chucky just gotten really good at tolerating pain?
Yeah, I know. I don't get it either. It should have, according to the previous rules, he should have revealed himself.
Is he not in that one yet?
Oh, that's a possibility, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, it's sort of like the thing, right? Like, now it's a puzzle for us. Well, which one is he? Or is he hopping around? What's going on there? And that's kind of an interesting thing to occupy your mind when you're watching this movie and keep you guessing. It does lend itself to some possibilities before it's revealed that he's pretty much in all the dolls.
Well, and we don't know. Okay, so Nika believes that it's alive at this point. At least one of them And it gets further complicated when the lady who's treating the doll as her baby takes it outside, and Nika watches them as though it looks like they're talking to one another. And then the lady hugs the doll so that it's facing Nika, and the doll flips her off. So there's no doubt she knows for sure that it's Chucky.
Yeah.
And multiple Malcolm, because the guy that she banged has dissociative personality disorder or whatever that's called. And he has like multiple personalities or whatever. He goes out. It appears that the doll tells Madeline to throw it in an open grave, because they apparently
have an open grave.
Bury people who die. Yeah, they have a graveyard right outside. So she throws the doll in there, and then she like points down to it, but then she pushes Malcolm in, and then Malcolm lifts the doll out, but then Malcolm like lifts his head up above the earth and looks at Nika and gives her like a knowing look. I still don't know what to make of this because I believe, and I think that Nika believes, that Chucky has now possessed this guy.
Yeah.
Are we to believe that too? Because he starts acting real weird.
We're to believe it. But later on, there's something that he says that doesn't jive with the actual.
Well, I have a theory about that too. But.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. Oh. But, well, I'll just say it now. Who cares? At the end, she finds him like over a dead body, and well, this is getting into some complicated things, but he claims to have killed somebody, but it turns out he didn't really. And he says, no, I'm Charles. Nobody calls me Chucky. But then there's some dialogue. I think that he was possessed or is possessed by Chucky, a part of him. But because he has multiple personality disorder, that part is now just one of him inside.
Well, for sure. I believe that.
Chucky talks to him and says, you couldn't handle it, or something like that. So I think he did possess him, but I think that...
It didn't take?
Well, or that, like, what happens if you possess somebody who has multiple personalities? You know, are you only possessing one personality? I think that's kind of, I don't know, who cares?
I thought, who cares? I thought that was what the idea was supposed to be, that now he has the Chucky personality sort of added to his arsenal of personalities.
Yes, that's what I think too.
But when his Chucky personality comes up, he says, well, nobody calls me Chucky. That's not true. He actually preferred to be called.
I don't think that's the real Charles Lee Ray part of him. I think that's him faking.
Faking. By now you saying he's gone. And
Right.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. We don't need to get that much into it. So what happens of the rest? The Asian lady goes to throw away one of the dolls. I hate when I do that. She has a name. Claire goes to try to throw away one of the dolls, but it bites her. And so she knows it's alive, but they think she's nuts. So they restrain her. They strap her to a table and sedate her. And she's terrified and like crying, because they also leave the Chucky doll in there with her while they go to tend to something else. I don't know. Something else is going on.
They always do this in movies.
A lot happens pretty quickly, right? But they leave her in there, and, you know, we get the classic Chucky's feet scurrying along, and eventually she looks over and he's just standing there looking at her with a wicked grin, and she can't move or talk or anything. She's conscious, but out of it. And he is holding a bottle of compressed air, and he says, compressed? Does that mean what I think it means? And in what I can only assume is a nod back to Bride of Chucky.
Yeah.
He throws the tank down on the ground so that it explodes like a rocket and shoots up through an enormous skylight directly above her. And the thick skylight glass shatters and falls down on her. And it's snowing outside. And this all happens in slow motion. The glass and the snow fall. It's a great shot. It looks fantastic.
It is. So I have some questions about the snow. Because so she gets decapitated. It's really cool, actually, and cut up by the glass, much like the people in Bride. And then there's this beautiful scene, like you said, of just her body laying there and the snow falling down on it. Later on, I think Claire has either a dream or some visions, or
Nika,
has a dream or some visions where there's snow falling on her as well. I also remember in the previous movie, after she was wrestling with Chucky in the elevator and she stabs him in the back and pulls out the knife, there's stuff that falls on her that looks like snow. And that
I don't remember that.
That was an unanswered question for me, because I wasn't sure if that was like some of his stuffing that went up in the air and came down.
I think so, yeah.
But it's treated very similarly. It's like slow motion and that's coming down, and Claire looks up at it and kind of like you look up at snow. And I thought, is she going into some kind of visionary state or something like that? Is this going to transition into a snowy scene? And it never does. But it's a very stark thing.
It's a nightmare.
I'm talking about the previous movie.
Oh, right.
So to see that come out again very prominently in this movie, like two more times, that was a connection that I wasn't sure what to make of. But I don't think you can deny there's some kind of stylistic visual connection there.
I don't know. I think it's just a good visual. I mean, you could say the same thing about, well, it's, you know, similar in the imagery to that scene from Bride. It may just be an additional callback.
I guess so. But it's just kind of weird to have snow indoors in three different scenes across two movies.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, this time it's a dream because we find out that her doctor basically brought her here so that he would have easier access to her because he hypnotizes her and molests her, which is disgusting. And fortunately, we don't get to see anything and he's just a big sicko. But he has her hypnotized. And she kind of giggles and he's like, what's so funny? And she says, Chucky, he's right behind you. And of course, the doctor doesn't turn around, but then he gets knocked out. And even Chucky is like skeeved out by the doctor. He's like, holy shit.
And they call me sick. This guy is diabolical. I mean, what a piece of work. I'm actually a little envious.
He's like, I don't know whether to kill him or take notes.
So funny, that line.
And the first time this happens, Nika is hypnotized, and then she wakes up seemingly on that bed that Claire had just died on. And then she wakes up again, I think, like on the floor in the hallway, and she looks up and she's lying at the feet of Alice. And Alice says, he's coming, or something like that. And then you start hearing these thunderous footsteps, and then a enormous Chucky is standing over her as she lays on the floor. And it turns out it's a dream.
Right.
But I don't remember what happens next. We know that Andy is on the way. Tiffany calls Andy. She calls him and taunts him and is like, the cult is growing every day. Andy knows something weird is going on because these killings are happening. And he thinks he has the only Chucky, but Chucky says something like, did you think I was the only one?
Yeah.
And now Tiffany says there's three of us and the cult is getting bigger by the day. And she taunts him and laughs. So he's on his way there with another Chucky that he pulls out of a closet. And this one has like a buzz cut.
What is this? Why does he have another Chucky doll that he's given a buzz cut to in his closet? Why and how? I don't get that bit.
Well, and then the buzz cut doll gets delivered to the doctor who just is like, I don't know why somebody would send me this, and just leaves it on his desk. Andy's trying to get in. And this is the point. The doctor gets skeevy with her again. Chucky hits him again, exactly the same way, and knocks him out. And both of these times, he's tried to get Nika to kill the doctor, which in my opinion, she would have every right to do. But she won't because like she's like, I'm not a murderer. And he's like, not yet. And there's like the Chucky conference.
Yeah, that's right. Well, is that before or after Madeline goes through the whole thing with?
It's after.
Yeah, I don't even know how important it is, but Madeline, who, you know, has murdered her child and still feels guilty about it, smothers it with a pillow. She's all nice and sweet to it. Oh, she's breastfeeding it, which is, oh, gross. My God, that was so cringy.
And her nipple is bleeding through her white nightgown.
It's not even stated, you know, it's just something you see and take note of, which makes it even creepier. But yeah, but then she smothers it. And then as she smothers it, you know, Chucky's hand is in a fist and it opens up and relaxes. And I thought, is this a new rule, too, that Chucky breathes and can be smothered to death?
No, I knew that was going to be a fake out.
It was definitely a fake out, but it was a fake out she couldn't even see, right? So that it was a fake out for us.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Chucky was fooling the viewing audience. But yeah, but that's when what's her name bursts in and says, no, don't worry, he's faking it, yada, yada, yada. And he said, all this other stuff happens. But you're right, there's a Chucky conference. So now all the adults are together in one room.
And they animate the short haired one. Okay, so there's the long claw one. There's the dirty one that got buried because they buried one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's
the short hair
one. Like a regular one in the... Well, they wake it up here. And this is when Chucky tells Nika that he can do this.
Oh, right. Because he literally... Because, of course, the short haired one is not animated yet.
Right. But they animate it. And I think that it's funny that... they have a whole moment in here, and I don't remember what happens. They are talking to Neek, but then they decide they're going to split up, and one of them's going to go kill Chucky, and they all want to do it, but the short hair one's like, guys, look at my hair, and the other two are like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you could totally do it. It was such a stupid line, but I thought it was hilarious.
It was funny.
Oh God. He also, when he's explaining, you know, what happened here, he talks about all the people he's killed and how, and then he says that he can be anyone, and that initially she possessed Alice because people would question a sweet little girl even less than they would question a sweet little doll. He said, but the problem with little girls is they can get hurt when their victims fight back. And then once they get hurt, they're not so sweet and cute anymore.
Yeah. So I guess the implication is that he was using Alice and then Alice died during one of his attempted murders, right?
Right. Or was so maimed that she wasn't useful to him anymore.
Yeah.
Which is pretty dark.
It's very dark.
And then Carlos, the nurse, comes in and sees the dolls, and they all attack him and kill him brutally. Like,
brutally.
They're all stabbing him and tearing at him.
Drilling him through the heart with a long-ass... Well, I don't know. What is the point of that long-ass drill? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Why is that thing kicking around the facility? Jesus.
So then the short hair one gets to go kill Andy. Then we cut to outside where there is a vintage car. And I knew immediately that that was Tiffany's car. I mean, that would be totally her style. And the guard like walks up and there's nobody in the front seat, but the Tiffany doll, who we haven't seen yet, is in the back seat. And then Tiffany, as she is prone to do, slits the cop's throat from behind.
That is her modus operandi.
Yep. That's her signature move.
It's just a running gag now, is what it is. She always like then takes the knife and kind of licks it or like plays with it afterwards and says something funny. It's cute.
And then one of the Chuckies possesses Neeka.
This is brilliant. I wanted to stand up and applaud during this bit because I thought this is so perfect.
I thought this was so clever. Now, this pervy doctor has already put these like hooker red high heels on her because apparently he's into feet or whatever. Gross. He also like sucks one of her toes.
Oh,
he's
God.
Disgusting.
It's so disgusting.
Not that I don't shame you if that's your thing. That's fine. But,
no, but
not
this
against
guy.
Somebody's will.
This
yeah,
guy's
gross.
Yeah.
But when Neeka is possessed, her body, I don't know how to describe it, almost doesn't levitate, but because her feet don't leave the ground.
It's
as though her upper body kind of supernaturally rises to standing position.
It was a bit of a Nosferatu move there, yeah.
Yes. Well, it's Chucky now inside her, and she grabs her own boobs and says, hey, there are some perks to these voodoo possessions. And he's not just talking about the boobs, but also the fact that when she's possessed by Chucky, she can walk.
Yeah.
And I think that this is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, and you only get to see a little bit of it here, you get to see more of it later, Fiona Dourif playing her father as Charles Lee Ray is fucking brilliant.
It really is.
It is so good. She looks like him.
She does. She has his eyes.
She can get his facial expressions. She can do the voice to an extent. I mean, it still sounds like a woman, but it's got his inflections. Can do the laugh. She can mimic his physicality. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
and I
really
love it.
She just stomps Foley's head in.
Oh, yeah.
Using the
yeah.
high-heeled shoes. That was great.
Then Neeka, who's really Chucky, talks to that Malcolm guy and, you know, tells him he's weak or whatever. And then the Chuckies kill him. And then the short-haired Chucky gets it. Andy has, the only way he's been able to get himself in was by attacking a guard to get himself committed, which that's not how that works, but okay. So the short-haired Chucky gets into his padded room and they fight a little bit, but Andy gets him pinned up against the wall and he pulls down his overalls and rips into his abdomen and pulls out a gun. This was his plan all along.
Yeah.
He planted that gun in the inanimate doll to get it into the hospital, I guess, knowing that it would eventually be animated and come from and he could get the gun. And he does.
Oh, that question was nagging me the whole time. I'm like, why did he send the doll there? And that was a satisfying answer.
At this point in the movie, it feels like it's setting up for something.
Yeah.
But you look and there's like a minute left.
Yeah.
Like, what is going to happen? And Neeka is standing in the doorway once he curb stomps that Chucky too, and that's pretty gross.
Yeah.
But then Neek is in the doorway, and he turns around with the gun, and she says, kill me, kill her. She just says, oh, the alarm goes off or something. She says, tag, you're it, pal, and slams the door. And then she walks outside and meets Tiffany out there, where they chat briefly and then make out. And yeah. Chucky in Nika's body says, so this is different. And Tiffany says, I don't know, works for me. And I love this. I think it's great. I buy that 100% that Tiffany would be down for it. Why not? they're both hot. It's still the same guy she knew. So what? Tiffany, they get in the car together and Tiffany says she kind of feels bad about Alice. It was kind of nice having Alice around. And Chucky kind of contemplates for a second, like, yeah. And then he goes, nah, that kid. And they both just laugh. And then they're laughing. And you also see that the Tiffany doll in the back seat is also laughing. So presumably there are also multiple Tiffanys.
Yeah.
And they drive away. And that's the end. But you have to wait for the end credit scene. And the end credit scene is, you know, the Chucky head in Andy's cabin. And you see somebody through the frosted window approaching. And they open the door. And before, I think it's before they reveal who it is, they pan across Andy's photos. Him and his mom. Him and Kyle. And it goes back to the door. And it's Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And Chucky head goes, Kyle? And she says, Andy sent me. We're going to have some fun. And then that's the end. And I think maybe you hear him scream or whatever. I can't tell you. And I'm sure I was not alone because 2 is such a fan favorite. Seeing Kyle return at the end, I was dying.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my God, that means she's officially back. And surely we will see her again. And I was so excited.
And at this point, Andy is locked up in a padded room in the facility, right? So he's locked up, though Chucky and Tina get away with everything and get out, just like they did in the last movie, right? And even in Seed, I suppose. And Kyle's shown up, and we got a Chucky head, and who knows how many other Chuckies are out there. And then I think there's still the question of Alice. I mean, they kind of allude to the fact that she's dead, but we don't know that for certain.
Tiffany says she's dead, but she could easily be lying.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yes. I was just going to say the reappearance of Andy in the previous movie and the reappearance of Kyle in this movie made me believe that they were committed to keeping this story canon, and that,
yeah,
I felt like this opened the door. Anybody from the past could pop up.
Right. And is that indeed how the series goes? I'm curious.
I don't want to be too spoilery about it, but definitely other people show up, people that have played prominent roles in the past that we haven't seen for a while. There are new characters, of course. There's, you know, it really kind of focuses on a new core group of characters. But the old school characters are pivotal to the events and play fairly large roles. And yes, characters that we haven't heard from in a while show back up, and not all at once. You know, there are 3 seasons out, and I've said this before, but Alan and I are saving the 3rd season kind of for the Halloween season. So I've only seen the first 2, so I don't really know what happens in the 3rd. But lots and lots of fun Easter eggs and cameos and character reappearances, and yeah, it's super fun. I think that you guys are really gonna like it if you've liked these last few movies. I think you're really going to be into the series.
Well, this movie set just the right tone for me. Like I had said with the previous one, it was a little jarring how dark and unfunny it was. And this one has got a great blend of keeping that dark, horror, modern feel that it needs, really. And it's still having the fun, jokey Chucky that I also love. And Tina's back in it. And it's just really...
I got it! That's the second time. I let it go the first time.
Oh, and Tiffany's back in it.
Why?
Jesus, why do you know why I want to call her Tina. She looks like a
Tina. I feel like there's an evil doll whose name is Tina.
There maybe is Talking Tina from, what is it?
Twilight Zone? Or
I think it's Twilight Zone, yeah. Talking Tina doll.
Maybe you got that in mind, I don't know.
But yeah, it struck the right balance for me, and I was just, and just so clever. Like I said before, Don Mancini knows how to plot a story. It kept you guessing. It was interesting. it was very satisfying in so many ways. It was cool to see the old characters come back and play roles. It was very unexpected, like very unpredictable. You know, I didn't know what was going to go up, what was happening. And I was constantly surprised through the movie. And even the doctor character turning out to be such a skeez was a surprise. Mm-hmm. So like the whole thing was just so much fun. And I really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, I know there's a series and that's probably taking up a lot of time, but I would love to see another movie, too.
Yeah. He has said that he plans to do more movies and I hope that he does. I kind of expect that he maybe didn't think that the series would get picked up as much as it did. Like after the first season, I thought it was really good and it critical reception was good, but you know, it's so niche. I thought, I don't know, it will be really lucky if we get a second season. And then we got a second season. And then I thought, well, that was lucky that lightning's not going to strike twice. And then we got a third season. I'm not surprised because it is really good. I'm kind of surprised that it has found a large enough audience to keep it going because networks and production companies are so fickle.
Oh, they're completely data driven now. And, you know, even if it's a large following, if it doesn't hit that right number that they feel that they need, they'll cancel it without any regrets. So it must have reached that number or else you wouldn't have seen three seasons. So
I guess. And, you know, maybe he's just milking this for all it's worth until they tell him he can't do it anymore. And then he'll take it back to movies. And I'm fine with that.
You know, I think if you start a series, you almost have an obligation to keep it going as long as possible because, you know, you're giving these people jobs. Everyone wants
it
to keep
going. That's true. I kind of thought you meant the franchise, and I think that that's true unless there just stop being stories to tell. And I think that some franchises overstay their welcome.
Oh, for sure. When they jump the shark, right?
Yeah. But this one has not for me. I'm still totally into it. I'm into these characters. I'm into the humor. Keep it coming as far as I'm concerned. And if the day comes where I do think that they've overstayed their welcome or jumped the shark, I'll be honest about it. But it hasn't happened.
That's impressive, actually, that it hasn't. Again, I think it's a testament to the Don Mancini really cares about these characters. And you know what? He also has the benefit of doing this over decades.
Right.
And being able to see where other series go wrong.
Yeah.
Deliberately not repeat those mistakes that previous series have made. I tell you, this has been a crash course for me and Chuckiedom, and this villain's got a new fan. I really do enjoy this now. And, you know, you had recommended the series to me and you said, oh, you know what? I'm like, oh, I'm not really like that into Chucky, but if you say it's good, I'd like to see it, but I need a crash course first. Now I'm a bit into Chucky.
Good.
Like, I will go back and rewatch some of these earlier movies. And honestly, I don't even think the third was that bad.
No, I don't either. I like it. It's just, it's probably my least favorite, but that's not to say that I don't like it or that it's bad at all. You know, we put something up on our Patreon page and said something about the movie and somebody came on and was kind of fired up. No, this is not the worst one in the franchise. And they thought Seed was the worst one, which there was a time when I shared that opinion. I don't need more, but there was a time when I shared it. So I give it where that person is coming from. And I don't think either of us really are criticizing the third movie at all. It was fine. I just think that, like I said earlier, it was maybe the least creative.
Well, you know, there's, you know, what is objectively worse or better? Like, nothing's objective in this case, but like, it's a lot easier to talk about what's your favorite, you know, which one spoke to you more. And I would honestly say that I, at the end of the day, enjoyed the third one more than I enjoyed the last one we did.
Curse.
So, you know, everyone's going to have their opinions. But none of these are bad, though. Really, none of them are bad.
And I had a really good time doing this. I was a little nervous about it. I thought we might burn out, especially since we really powered through these. We haven't done that in a long time.
And especially since
six Chucky movies in 2 weeks.
God.
That's a lot.
God, I don't think I could do this with many other franchises. I did this once, actually, with Friday the 13th, and I just finally, I had to quit.
Boy.
I had to give up.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
I was like, ugh. I can't take any more of this garbage.
And I like those movies. Yeah.
I enjoy them in bite-sized pieces, you know, every now and then. It's kind of fun to see a new one, but like to try to plow through them, no, there's not enough variety.
Agreed.
Well, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through this. I hope you enjoyed this. Please let us know what you thought of our little Chucky marathon this last month and a week. And you can do that by Googling us, just Two Guys in a Chainsaw Podcast. Find our website, find all of our social media, leave us a message there. The best thing you can do for us is leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform and tell the world what you think, honestly, of our podcast. Well, you know, we love seeing those reviews. We love hearing from you directly. Oh, just go to chainsawhorror.com and you can check out a link to our Patreon. You can talk to us directly using a link there to record a little message. We do love to hear from you guys no matter how you find us. Until next time, I'm Todd.
And I'm Craig.
With two guys and a chainsaw.